Now, we've bought a home. We've talked about renting. Chris helped you with the mortgages. Let's talk about selling a home. When you get ready to sell a home, you need to think like a retailer. How many of you have ever visited a new subdivision with a furnished model that was absolutely drop dead? Better Homes and Gardens, awesome. Tell me you've been in a model home, everybody. Most everybody has. When you walk in there, you're dealing with a retail situation. They have painted the picture the way they wanted you to visualize it. Lots of thought has gone into the color of the couch, the situation of the couch, how the dining room table is set up, what art is on the wall, what the closets look like. Lots of thought has gone into this because they're retail. They are selling. This is their example. When you're selling your home, you have to think like that. You have to change your mindset. We got ready to sell one of our homes. Our kids were little, and I told them, I said, if there is any sign that you live here when someone comes to look at the house, you will not be living here anymore. We will send you away. And that means that Kitty and Puppy are probably going to go visit Grandma. Because a great big nice dog, I love big dogs. I'm a big dog guy. But I don't even want to meet one at the front door of a house I'm getting ready to buy. Because it immediately says things about this house. Think like a retailer. Take half of your stuff off your kitchen counters and box it. You're not using it. Or put it under the cabinets, one of the two. Take a bunch of the stuff in the cabinets that you're not using and go ahead and box that and put it in there. Because a cabinet that is chocked full is small cabinets. This place doesn't have enough cabinet space. When people open it up and stuff falls out, that's what it says to them. So go ahead and take a bunch of that out. Room in the cabinets says, wow, they've got a lot of cabinet space. Same thing for your closets. Take half of your stuff out of your closets. You're moving anyway, right? You need to get some of this stuff out of your house and put light bulbs in. I want you to personally create a drain on energy. Personally. 100 watt, lots of lights. Every light in the house is on before they come to look at it. Light opens up all the corners. Darkness is small. Light is big. Little bitty bedrooms aren't necessarily little bitty when they're well lit. Lots of lights on all kinds of things. Accent lights, everything. Lots and lots of lights. Have someone come in who loves you enough to tell you if your house smells. Bake bread right before they come. Bake chocolate chip cookies right before they come. I don't know how to do that. Get vanilla extract. Put it on the oven and turn the oven on. It'll smell like you baked something. Candles that have scent are really a good idea, but not so much that you knock me down with the perfume when I come in. So be thoughtful. Be thinking about you are in the marketing business. Walk out in the street. Look back at the house. Think about what it looks like from the curb. This is a big deal. You need to think through these things. Now, the return on investment of fix-up dollars is absolutely enormous, especially on items that are $1,000 and less. $1,000 of paint will paint half the universe. It's amazing what you could do with that. $1,000 of 409 will clean a lot of grubby handprints. $1,000 will go a long way with some elbow grease toward getting a house ready to sell. But people think, well, I just live, I'm just putting a sign in the yard. You're not going to sell it. And if you do, they're going to beat you up on price because you're competing with other people who got their house market ready before they put it on the market. Think like a retailer. The most important aspect of preparation is attention to the curb appeal. Walk out in the street and look at the house. Now, I told you a little bit earlier, 90% of buyers are viewing the home online now on the internet before they go actually look at the home. Guess what they're seeing? The picture from the curb. That picture needs to be a work of art. But stand in the street and think, I'm looking at this house. What is wrong with this from the curb? Because, you know, in a job interview, the first 30 seconds, a lot of employers make their decision before you've even opened your mouth, based on the way you look when you walk up. The same thing's true with curb appeal. That's your first impression. You never have a second chance to make a first impression. You ever heard your dad and mom say that? Same thing's true with your house. Get that curb appeal ready. Trim those bushes. Trim those trees. Make everything lined up. Make it look like a little park. And, you know, you're just thinking that, you know, Thumper Rabbit is somewhere around here, right? You just have this sense, this feel of, oh, I can see my kids playing in that yard. But if there's a bunch of trash sitting around and stuff, you can't do that. You have to stand in the yard, look at it and say, and then walk up the driveway, park where you think they're going to park and get out. Look around and go, uh-oh, cobweb up there in the corner. We've got a gutter right there. We need to fix that. And then walk down the sidewalk. Make sure the sidewalk is edged and really good mulch and nice trees right there as you're going along. And then, by the way, when they go to the front door, they have to get the little lock thing open. And so they're standing there a while. So they're looking around. So stand there for a minute or two and look around and go, uh-oh, I've got to paint this front door. And let me tell you, your little kids' handprints and face prints on the front door, that's all sweet to you. The rest of us think you need to clean your house. Okay? It's not cute. Clean it. This is a retail thing you're doing here. All those little things are going to make you a ton of money when you get ready to sell. These are the tricks of the trade for real estate professionals. This is the stuff they tell you to do. When selling your home, make sure that it is listed on the internet and check the pictures. Because I can't tell you how many times I've looked at those pictures and they're awful. And people use that to rule you out and never gave you a fair shot simply because of some cheesy, bad, poorly thought out photography. Somebody just going click, 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 like it's Facebook or something. You're marketing a several $100,000 asset here. Act like it. Act like it. When selling, statistical research has found that the best real estate agents are worth more than they cost. Unless you personally are a seasoned pro at this, unless you've done multiple transactions yourself. Now, here's the deal. The realtors have done detailed research, lots of detailed surveys and statistical analysis. Nationally, in the last 5 years, here's the numbers. The average FSBO, we call them, for sale by owners, sold their home for $150,000. The average same house sold through a realtor, $215,000. $65,000 more on average. Now, that's very interesting. That says that a quality realtor is going to get more for the house. Well, think about it. You don't have the ability to list the house in the multiple listing service, in the MLS. And an MLS is where people go when the buyer is going through an agent to look for property. They dial right straight into the MLS and find out stuff that's in the area. Now, think about this. If you personally had 10,000 potential buyers and I had 5 buyers, who's going to get the most for the house? You. 10,000 buyers, right? If you've got 10,000 people looking at this house and I got 5 looking at it, on average, the person with 10,000 is going to get more for the house, get it sold quicker, and get it sold more often. And that's what a quality realtor does. Now, I don't care if you use a realtor or not. I'm giving you the statistical evidence. You do whatever you want to do. I can tell you this. I am a licensed real estate broker. I do not market properties personally or anything like that. But at the end of the day, if I get ready to sell my personal residence, I'm going to use a realtor. Because of those same things, because I'm not actively engaged in it, even though I still invest in real estate. I'm not on the retail side of it. It's not what I do every day. I don't have time to fool with it. And so they're going to do a better job for me. When selecting an agent, don't rely on friendships or relatives. Everyone in this room, everyone watching this knows 5 or 6 people in the real estate business. Everybody does. And most of them are not the people you need to use. Most of them aren't. You need to find the top high-octane, high-protein professional. You should interview at least 3 agents. You're hiring someone you're going to pay tens of thousands of dollars to. Don't just hire somebody you've never met before. They should be able to come in and present to you and sell you and show you how professional they are. If they can't show you that, when they get ready to sell your house, they don't know how to do it. So this needs to be somebody who's on top of things, like returns phone calls. How quick did they respond when you talked to them? Those kinds of things, because that's how quick they're going to respond to the people calling them about your house. Took them 3 days to get back to you about listing your house. Going to take them 4 days to get back to that buyer. You're going to lose them. So you need to have people that are on top of their game. That's what we're looking for here. Have your agent do a detailed comparative market analysis, the CMA it's called. And all this is you're pulling comparable houses that have sold in the area recently to compare to yours. Now, when they do that, they're going to establish and show you with statistical evidence based on that what your home is really worth. Most sellers have what we call emotional equity. Translation, they think their house is worth more than it is because it's theirs. emotional equity doesn't count. What the house is worth is what the house is worth. And it's pretty easy to establish that based on other homes in the area that have actually sold. So overall, real estate represents home. Real estate represents our family. This is where our children are going to grow up. It's where our dog and kitty are. This is where it feels good to come back to after travel. And we all have this sense, even like Jesus said, that we need a place to lay our head. We need a place spiritually and emotionally, relationally, that we call home. So I recommend you do this. I recommend you get a home. And that you work through the process of paying cash for it or paying it off very, very quickly. Because I've done detailed research and 100% of the foreclosures occur on a home with a mortgage. So get that thing paid off. Let that be your place where you lay your head. When that type of foundation is under your financial plan, you are poised then to launch. But doing it improperly, doing it when you're not yet ready, pushing the edge of the envelope because the culture says you gotta buy, you gotta buy, you gotta buy, is a bad idea. So go slowly, carefully, but let this be one of your financial goals. Let's take our 1 minute and you write out what you learned that you gotta take away from this lesson. Go.
Thank you for listening to Financial Peace University, Lesson 8, Real Estate and Mortgages. Please visit daveramsey.com/FPU for further information. This audio is copyrighted 2012 by Lampo Licensing, LLC. All rights reserved, 1749 Mallory Lane, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027. This audio recording is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. It is sold with the understanding that the publisher is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. If legal advice or other expert professional assistance is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.